Now, we're not quite through with Lego. Having celebrated its 50th anniversary last year, it holds a special place in the childhood memories of many a baby boomer. But the story you're about to hear is perhaps testimony to the fact that for children, the most valuable construction tool of all remains the human imagination.
If it is possible to create architecture out of nothing more than dreams, then I was a child prodigy in the profession. By my 9th birthday, I had long moved on from sandcastles and begun work on designing and constructing an extraordinary palace with vast rooms of wondrous amorphous shapes. It took less than a year to complete, and only that long because the work had to be done by the darkness of night in the short interval between the time I went to bed and when I fell asleep. Beginning with the palace's main bedroom, I built outward in my imagination, adding one room every night. Each evening, the design exercise would begin with a tour of what I had already built, so as to cement and strengthen the floor plan in my memory. When my memory palace had so many rooms, nooks and crannies that I could no longer think up uses for any more, I built a moat around it. Then, crossing the moat's drawbridge each night, I set about designing a village, street by street, house by house. Several years later, I began designing in the more tangible medium of Lego. Having dismissed Meccano, with its metal strips and nuts and bolts, as being more about engineering miniature models of public works, such as bridges, than about the ideas of domestic architecture that consumed my imagination, my crowning achievement as a child architect came on Anzac Day 1969, when I was a finalist in the Lego Championship organised by a big toy store in my hometown. The miniature Neo-Georgian manor house I built that day had no resemblance to where I lived at the time. My model's grand proportions had no counterpart in the reality of my suburb, no precedent in my personal experience, but I won. My clearest memory of the minutes leading up to the start of the grand final was the enormous size of the table that the little contestants gathered around. Spilt in the middle of that table is a mountain of Lego bricks of various shapes and sizes. The colours are red, white or black. I have 30 minutes to build something. In the heats and semi-finals that have led up to today's ultimate competition, my opponents have never built the same thing twice, but I have steadfastly built the one thing, a house, the same house. On the school nights between each competition, I've practiced the assembly, tweaked the design, and committed to memory an inventory of the type of bricks I need, so that when the starting bell rings and our arms stretch across the table to greedily grasp at the bricks, I'll know exactly what I need, no more or less, to complete my design in record time. My house sits on a rectangular building base. Like the bricks, it is made from ABS, acrylonitrile butadiene styrene, a sturdy material, which Lego has used instead of cellulose acetate since the early 1960s. The base is the miniature equivalent of the cement slabs on which so many full-scale houses sit. Above the base, my design calls for row on row of Lego bricks, with their ingenious stud-and-tube coupling system, in my chosen colour of white. When the house reaches two stories, I crown it with a pitched roof of red bricks ascending to a point. There is, of course, a chimney. On the lower floor, there's a front door flanked by two shuttered windows. Upstairs at the front, there are three windows, carefully spaced. Symmetry rules the design. There are other windows at the side and back, and when the judge rotates my house, I can explain exactly what room each window opens into. I could tell him much more, if he needed to know, about the inner life of the building, about its occupants, a husband, a wife, and three children of school age. But for all its ingenuity, Lego could never replicate the complexity of my nocturnal architecture. The limitless, flowing geometry of that memory palace was replaced by the regimental, stretcher-bond pattern of tiny bricks, And all at once the world was reduced to rectangles. Far less tough than Lego, the palace walls have been eroded by decades of neglect. Only crumbling, half-remembered fragments remain. It is a ruin, a reminder of the unbridled imagination of childhood, a monument to some long-lost architecture of dreams.
A Lego Story, written by Mark Wakely, concluding with music from Tchaikovsky's Album for the Young. It was read by Nicholas Apolsky, who incidentally won the hearts of children in Australia and across the world as the original B2 in Bananas in Pyjamas.